Welcome back, everybody, to episode 16 of So Many Screens, a pop culture podcast presented by Washed Media. I am your host, J.R. Hickey, coming to you from Palm Springs, California, presenting a lads-only edition of So Many Screens this Thursday morning. Joining me, once again, the host of Circling Back, the host of Sunday Scaries. He is a butcher, he is a baker, he is now a candle maker, Will DeFries. How are we doing today?
Doing well. Always a pleasure to be here. And anytime I get to chat some soccer with the lads, it's a good day for me. So I'm looking forward to it.
Will and I, just to set the table really quick for everybody, Will and I are going to be talking exclusively about the Apple Plus original series, Ted Lasso. It had been on my radar for a long time. Actually, the Circling Back subreddit was one of the first people to kind of put it on our radar and said, hey, for So Many Screens, check out Ted Lasso. I kind of eased into it. I texted you about it. I was like, I think this is something you'd like. And you're like, I'm already right there with you. You were like, you kind of done the same thing. Why did you sign up for Apple Plus initially? Like, why were you already on Apple Plus?
Well, mainly because I'd got a new iPhone. So I got the free trial already. And so I was already happy about that. I admittedly don't watch a lot on Apple Plus just because there isn't a lot on there that really does much for me. The only other shows that I've actually, or the only other show that sticks out that I've watched on there that is an Apple Plus exclusive show was The Morning Show. And while I liked it, it kind of has the vibe of every other Apple Plus show that I've seen that tells me that like these shows have a massive budget and sometimes maybe not the substance to back it up or something, but like they just have such a big budget that they're going to figure out how to make something watchable, entertaining, and fun. And with both of the shows, Ted Lasso and Morning Show, I think they've accomplished that for me. I've enjoyed both of them, even though I do have like certain parts of them that I'm like, ugh, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's a great point. And that's kind of why I asked this question, because you don't hear about Apple Plus that often. It's not part of the cultural conversation. They're never at the forefront of like cutting edge original programming. But you're right. They have tens of millions of dollars to throw at these A-list stars, Jennifer Aniston, Steve Carell. To where you're watching these shows on screen and you're like, well, this looks good. These are people I enjoy watching. Why don't I like this more?
So
I kind of thought the same thing. I was at Apple Plus. It's just another thing. It's kind of on my radar, but I'm really more focused on my Netflix, my Hulus. And then it was actually my wife who was like, hey, let's watch Ted Lasso. And I was like, wait, isn't this based on those like promos for Premier League that Sudeikis did a long time ago? Like, I remember the commercials being funny, but I can't in any way, shape, or form foresee this being an entertaining or interesting show. What were your just initial impressions, Will, when you saw maybe like your first promo for Ted Lasso?
You know, I was in the same boat. I thought the promotions were pretty unique and pretty funny. I thought they were a little hokey when I first saw them, but I'm also one of the few Americans who's been watching EPL for, I mean, I've been watching it since the day I discovered what it was. And if there was a game that they played on Fox, I was trying to watch that. And so it's always been something that's been ingrained in me to watch like every weekend morning. And so I was a little nervous about them turning the commercials into an actual show. I was just like, this can't be a good idea. And furthermore, I was even more worried about just how it translates. As we know from Kyle Bandujo's podcast, sometimes sports things just don't translate. They're not realistic enough. They don't really hit the nerves that you want to hit when you have people that are loyal fans of a certain sport or a certain league. And so I was very hesitant to go into it. And I think I even tweeted something that was just like, man, I hate how much I'm going to watch this show, or I hate that I'm going to watch this entire season. Yeah. And the thing, and I was in the same boat as you when we actually started watching it. The main driving force behind us still watching it was my wife, Sally, and she liked it more than I did at first. And I was like, okay, we can watch another episode of Ted Lasso. Like, I'm not trying to binge this right now, but she was down to do it all. So even though I did have those hesitations in the beginning, they did a lot of things in the show that made it pretty easy to like, and it made me forget about those realistic, all the realistic things that you want to be in the show that just aren't going to be in the show.
Yeah, and we'll unpack that a little bit. But before we do, for those who haven't watched the show, we're going to go into some spoilers here. So check out Ted Lasso. It's 10 episodes on Apple Plus. The whole first season's on there to binge. I'm pretty sure there's a free trial of Apple Plus somewhere that you can sign up for. If not, $7.99 a month. I really do want to unpack some of these characters and some of the plot machinations. So Will and I are going to be spoiling the show from here on out. Once again, Ted Lasso, it's an American sports comedy television series. It was developed by Bill Lawrence, Jason Sudeikis, and Brendan Hunt. And it's based on a character that Jason Sudeikis played in a series of promos for NBC Sports' coverage of the Premier League back in 2013. So this is 7 years ago, Will. As you know, I work full-time in advertising. So the only thing I could compare this to was, you know, the Geico cavemen?
Yes.
They had a show on CBS that lasted like 3 episodes. And it was just so abundantly clear. Like, listen, these guys are good in 30-second bursts, like in between sporting events. There's no way they can carry a 22-minute sitcom. And that's initially what I thought about the show. I thought, no way Sudeikis can carry it. No way this is going to like translate. It's such a like a absurd plot, you know. American football coach goes overseas with zero experience and manages a Premier League team. You're going to have to help me with some of the language here, because there's definitely some educating that happened in the Hickey household.
Oh yeah, and in terms of all of the phrases and things like that, I even hesitate, because even saying Premier League instead of or saying Premier League instead of Premier League, people just get very upset. And I never want to be the guy who's like trying to do a fake British accent cheering for their team or supporting their team. But it's kind of like this weird middle ground of like, okay, I really like this sport, but I can't like it so much that I look like a poser by trying to like use all the lingo whenever I talk about it.
But in that way, I think the show does a great job. The Ted Lasso character is a coach from Kansas City, and he comes out and he basically we're learning along with him. He's asking the questions like, you know, two halves and not four quarters and all this stuff. There's overtime. Like you can tie. He has a big problem with ties in this new found sport of his. So I really liked that as like a exposition device. Mm-hmm. I again didn't think it would work for 10 episodes, but it somehow does. It's a slow burn. You immediately become extremely comfortable with the characters. Jason Sudeikis is so disarmingly charming without being funny that you don't feel like bad for him. You just feel him. You're like, I feel everything this guy is feeling. I'm rooting for him so hard. He's in this impossible circumstance. And yet somehow, via every twist and turn, is just smiling and taking it on the head and dealing with it like a very rational human being. An incredible performance by him.
He is I think the entire cast did a very good job of playing their parts and doing their job of making this show that may seem inauthentic to people who know about the sport. They all did such a good job of making it, like you said, charming. And it was such an easy show to watch. And it was such a good performance, especially from Jason Sudeikis, that you just couldn't help but feel for him and get sucked into his task at hand of managing the team, in his divorce and everything. It was so impossible to dislike him that you just naturally ended up liking the show.
And in a weird way, it like translated on screen. He goes into the situation where everyone around him hates him for his position. Mm-hmm. And he slowly wins them over one by one, much as he won you and I over episode by episode.
Yeah.
I think Jason Sudeikis is one of the most talented improvisers of all time. He's an incredible comedian. And that's what I thought going into this was like, all right, now when is the funny stuff going to start? And it never really gets there. And I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions about the shows. It's not funny. It's heartwarming. It's got its like funny moments, but you're never going to be like rolling on the floor laughing about this iconic back and forth that like Sudeikis has with one of the characters.
Yeah, like those moments when you're laughing out loud are kind of rare. And a lot of the time, it doesn't even have to do with Jason Sudeikis. A lot of the time, it has to do with like Nathan or somebody like that. And so it kind of speaks to just how well done the show was, that it doesn't need to be funny like you're used to seeing Jason Sudeikis. And it's so heartwarming and such a feel-good show that you can't help but walk away smiling, even though that smiling's not from laughter.
Absolutely. What would you say surprised you the most about the show?
Oh, Honestly, I think it was how much I grew to like characters that I just absolutely did not like in the beginning. When I first saw Rebecca, I was just like, I don't really like you very much. Just her entire existence in the first half of the show, it's like, okay, you don't really mean that well.
Yep.
In terms of Keeley and Jamie Tart, I was just like, okay, these two are so insufferable. And Jamie Tart is supposed to be a guy that you hate.
Yep.
And but every single character wins you over, just like you said, just like how Jason Sudeikis wins everybody else over. And so by the end of the show, I can't think of one person outside of maybe the ex-husband who I'm rooting against. Like every single person I was just kind of rooting for.
Yeah, the Rebecca character is interesting because it's like kind of, it's supposed to be like an original concept, but it's basically the plot of 1989's Major League. You know, if we had Kyle Banduho-Juan, he could break that down for us. But like Rebecca wins AFC Richmond in like a messy divorce. And to get revenge on her cheating ex-husband, she's basically trying to tank the franchise that he loved so much. That's why she hires this American football coach with zero experience. She's basically trying to like get them, what's it called?
Relegated.
Relegated, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like really stick it to her ex-husband. And those like plot devices, it's a stretch, Will. Like it could have been handled so poorly.
Yes. And like, and one of the things about relegation too, is that the show didn't really explain very well. I mean, you kind of get the drift, but getting relegated is truly one of the worst things that can ever happen to your organization. Like when you get relegated, you're missing out on so much money. And so like, this is literally one of the most vile things that you could do to your ex-husband who used to own this team. And I also had a preconceived notion of her because she was on the show Sex Education. You watched that. And so she was kind of a mean mom on that. And I didn't really like her. And when I finally figured out and put two and two, you know, those moments in movies when you're like, where is she from? I've only seen her in one thing.
Sure.
And once I put two and two together, I was just like, okay, I'm so out on her right now. But by like episode four, I was just like, oh, I want the best for her. I feel so bad for Rebecca.
The actress Hannah Waddingham has had like a storied career in Hollywood. So you still haven't watched Game of Thrones, have you?
I haven't. No.
Okay. For everyone else who's listening, who's watched Game of Thrones like a normal human being, and this is something you'll know just from pop culture. Hannah Waddingham, who plays Rebecca in Ted Lasso, plays a very titular character in Game of Thrones. For eight episodes, she plays, the name of the character is Septa Onella. She follows Cersei around in the street, ringing a bell, saying, shame, shame, shame. Which I know you know that reference, Will. I know you've heard that. Yes.
I do. I know enough about Game of Thrones. Like, I mean, as someone who hasn't seen it, I still know so many references and things like that I can not hold a conversation, but I can chime in every once in a while.
Fair enough. And we'll leave it at that. I'm not going to try to fight this battle with you every single time we talk.
I should have watched it all through quarantine when I had more free time in my entire life, but I just pretty much just spent all that time just honestly just wasting it. So I had all the time in the world and the best opportunity, and even then I didn't do it. So it might have to be something that I just do when I don't even know. Maybe another lockdown and another time.
When spooky season and bachelor season's over.
Exactly.
So I wanted to talk about what surprised me about the show, and it's a little like, it's not super like apparent, but in TV, you're long taught to expect like an oversized amount of drama in between human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So like you milk a storyline for like three episodes. Someone cheats on someone and it wrecks them for the whole season. But with Ted Lasso, I think the biggest differentiator for me and where I think this show really excelled is these potential dramatic landmines like jealousy, Rebecca's like scheming to like take Ted Lasso down. They fester for only a little bit of time, and then the characters deal with them like normal human beings would deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned Jamie Tart and Keeley. This is Jamie Tart's like the stud player on AFC Richmond, and Keeley's like a social media influencer type. It's not very clear. There's a bit of a love triangle towards the middle to end of season one of Ted Lasso. And it's between the young, flashy Jamie Tart and then the older veteran, Roy, who is a whole nother conversation we have to have.
Oh, we're going to have the Roy conversation at some point.
But the whole thing is like shockingly level-headed.
Yeah.
Like Roy finds out that Jamie and Teeley slept together. Roy and Jamie kind of like have a man-to-man about it. She backslides a little bit. Eventually, they're both just like, listen, we're human beings. We made mistakes. I'm willing to look past it if you are. Great. And then they end up a couple at the end of the show. Have you ever seen that in television, Will?
No. And it happens like in so many other different little segments of the show too. I mean, you don't have – at no point was I tired of any storyline. It yep. was always – these small conversations. And then even so, say like Jason Sudeikis getting the divorce papers from his wife.
Yep.
It was just a kind of compartmentalized in one scene. And then after that, it's like, well, I have to go to work and I have to go do stuff and I have to go, yep. you know, put on my happy face and manage this team. And it wasn't like the whole show. It's like, oh, remember the divorce episode? That was tough. It was just this small little part that added to the whole of why you felt for the characters.
If Ted Lasso was on AMC, that divorce episode would continue with him like leaving London, going and like blacking out somewhere, going on some journey, meeting some interesting characters, something that no one would ever actually do, just mm-hmm. to make it more dramatized. And
yeah,
you're right. In a normal world, someone who gets served divorce papers still has to go to work the next day and put on a good face. And I love that. It's super subversive in how straightforward it is with its interaction. So that's what impressed me the most about the show. Who would you say was your favorite character? Maybe like, I don't know, like outside of the main, you know, Sudeikis, Rebecca Wadham, of the side characters, who stood out to you the most or who grew on you maybe?
I had two. Okay. My favorite overall character was Roy Kent.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I have not read up on this. I have not researched it, but I'm just completely basing this off of what I know about soccer. And there is one player who he is 100% based on. And his really? name is unsurprisingly Roy Keane. And not only do they look somewhat similar, but their on-field demeanor is very similar. They're kind of like the bite your head off or some of the soccer players say bite your nose off. Like he's one of those guys that like you just don't want to mess with on the field.
Yeah.
And I liked that about him. I always kind of have a soft spot for the old athlete who's kind of getting washed up. But even more so, one of my favorite players growing up was Roy Keane, who I assume he was based off of. And so it was very easy for me to go in and like him. But I think what I really liked about him was just seeing him evolve from being this hard ass. And when he first started engaging with Keeley in their romantic relationship, I couldn't help but just like feel warm and fuzzy because it's like, all right, this hard ass guy who doesn't bend over for anybody is all of a sudden just like, you can feel his sense of shame because he doesn't normally probably have to court women that he's involved with or anything like that. And you can just tell he's like, oh yes, I like you, Keeley. Like, please just understand that. And please just let's move on and be in a relationship. But instead it was this whole complicated thing. And so I identified with just his general soccer personality and his character. I thought the actor himself was great. And then just the side storyline that eventually kind of took over of Keeley. I just thought it was all awesome.
Yeah. Brett Goldstein, the actor, he is a British actor and comedian and writer. Fun fact, one of the writers on the show started as a writer and was then cast as Roy Kent.
Interesting.
Which is great. And I did not know that about Roy Keane. You have a much deeper soccer knowledge than me. No disrespect to the actor whatsoever. He looks like a FIFA character.
That is a very, very good observation. He does. He's kind of like misshapen in a way. Like his head's like too round and like, I don't know.
He looks like one of those just NPC, like blank face, round head, flat haircut guys you would see running around on the pitch. Like,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I saw promos for the show, I was like, is that guy CGI'd? Have we gotten to this point in COVID where we're just CGI'ing people in?
He's definitely not built like a modern soccer player should be built. He might be built like when Roy Keane played, when you could be this skinnier kind of wiry guy. Yeah. But these days, like he's going to get bossed around.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, no disrespect to Brett Goldstein, who was one of my favorite, if not my favorite actors, but I just had to make that observation. So not to spin anything negative, but I mean, was the show lacking anything in your mind, Will? Or was there any, this is more specific to you, was there anything as an avid football fan, did you notice any inauthenticities or places where they screwed up?
They screwed up a lot, but it wasn't so egregious for me that it ruined anything, because a lot of the soccer scenes were very quick flashes in the pan. Like, it wasn't it wasn't like Friday Night Lights, where every single episode started like with the build up to a game, and then it finished with the game, and the game ended with the same like a Hail Mary to Tim Riggins that he runs into the end zone. It wasn't like that. I would venture to guess that there were probably some episodes where we didn't even see a game. I don't know. I would assume so. And so there were some inaccuracies, but I think the biggest issue was definitely the finale when they ran the football play. And it was just like, okay, this is, you guys almost made it the entire season without having like something egregious happening. And when I saw that, I was like, you know what? Their resume that they've already built up in my mind is enough for me to sweep this under the rug and just say, you know what? They are forgiven for this. Hopefully people complain and they won't do it next season. But that was the one time where I was just like, okay, it's like the flying V in Mighty Ducks. Yeah. Like, it's never going to work. No team's ever going to do this and have it work, especially on the highest level of the EPL. It just doesn't work like that.
That's a really good observation. I completely agree. That made you roll your eyes a little bit, but it built up so much good, to that point, good change, that I was like, you know what? You can get away with it. This is the last 5 minutes of this incredible, 10-hour show. And you earned it, Ted Lasso.
Credit to them. They did do certain things that were somewhat endearing to a soccer fan. I mean, they were AFC Richmond, a made-up team.
Yep.
And they weren't playing made up teams. They were playing actual EPL sides. Like, Everton was one of their big wins. And, just kind of the fact that they didn't say like Liverpool, Manchester United, Manchester City, all the big teams that everyone knows about. I'm sure a lot of people know that Everton might be a soccer team, but some casual fans might have no idea. And so to actually put that in and have them beat a team that is beatable for any other team, it was kind of nice to see that, rather than being like, oh, we've got this big game against league leaders, Liverpool, who are an absolute force. It's like, no, I'm sorry. A team led by an American football coach is not going to beat a Liverpool or a Man City, but a team that should get relegated on a random Saturday or Sunday, they might beat Everton. And so it was kind of endearing seeing that.
That's cool. And this is the type of insight that I didn't have, but knew was for the true soccer fans, where I said to myself, these feel like real teams, real places based on actualities. And I'm really glad to hear that. I do have one nitpick on the show, and this is something I'm pretty sure I lifted from someone else's tweet, but the players celebrate after every goal, even in practice, which I think is hilarious.
Well, what was the Latin player's name who just like celebrates everything?
Danny Rojas.
Yeah.
One of the best players.
He, at first I was like, oh my God, this guy's so annoying. I hope he's not around. And then like, he would just have these little tiny spurts of like energy in the show. And I was like, okay, how can you not like him? He's literally the happiest person. And I don't think there was ever a point where the writers were like, hey, should we have him have some kind of turmoil? It's like, no, make him happy the entire episode.
I think episode 6 or 7, he injures himself and everyone's like, oh no, Danny Rojas, he's done for the season. 30 seconds later, he's like running wind sprints in circles like a fucking roadrunner, and it's like, oh no, that's just what happens. People dinged up, they didn't nicked up. Okay, we've talked about what we liked, talked about what we didn't like. Is there any specific moment that stood out to you as being like your favorite moment from Ted Lasso season one?
Oh man, that's a good question. I'll probably come up with a better one later that's a little more heartfelt, but I think my favorite moment that sticks out to me is when Nathan finally got to address the team and actually talk to them. I thought it like, I thought some of the jokes were a little much, where I was like, okay, you wouldn't actually say this if you were this worried about everything.
Yeah.
But seeing that coy character just evolve from being essentially like a ball boy all the way up to being assistant coach. And when they actually made him the assistant coach, that was pretty heartfelt. I really just enjoyed his kind of evolution. And when he finally got to address the team and tell everybody something, it was laugh out loud funny. And pretty much any scene I really enjoyed, what did they call themselves? The diamond something or the,
oh shoot.
Oh man. Intern Klein's going to kill me, 'cause he always texted me about this. But like, anytime those guys had diamond a conversation dogs. With diamond the diamond dogs. Yeah. Yes. Whenever the diamond dogs had a conversation, I was like, yep, this is good stuff.
Yeah. Coach Beard, Jason Sudeikis' assistant coach, is one of the – Brendan Hunt is the actor, one of the co-creators of the show. Very active on Twitter. If you tweet about the show in any positive light, he will share that tweet. Sudeikis as well, but Pat and I have discussed, we're pretty sure that's not actually Sudeikis running his account. I'm sure it's like some team of social media interns or something like that.
Probably. Because
if you tweet about Ted Lasso, he likes it within like 30 seconds.
Oh, I mean, trust me. There's a, as someone who has used this bot before, you can set up a bot that can do that and like any tweet that has a phrase of something in it.
Very good to know. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite moment, it's in episode 8 or 9. Rebecca and Ted Lasso are out at a bar meeting one of their biggest investors, and in walks Rupert, her ex-husband, who is with a younger girl who's pregnant now. He basically challenges Ted Lasso to a game of darts for,
yes.
What was it for? For like, I don't remember what the consequence was now that I'm trying to remember this from a couple weeks ago, but basically for like either Ted's job or for like setting the starting lineup for the last game of the season.
Yeah, it was something. I don't recall that. I don't recall the consequences, but I recall that scene. And when that scene was over, I think I probably looked over at Sally and was like, that was awesome. So
yeah,
happy.
I did the same thing. I think I had a big stupid smile on my face. Jason Sudeikis basically reveals through like many dart throws how incredible of like a dart player he is, but linguist, improviser, human being, as he's basically defending his boss's honor while humiliating this billionaire in a bar and showing off how sneaky talented he was at like this little bar game. I was half expecting the song Werewolves in London to play because it reminds me of like Tom Cruise in The Color of Money, which is a old Scorsese movie reference, but like that's what it was, man. It was like, oh, watch how sick I am at darts while I pretend like it's no big deal.
He actually had an overabundance of swagger when that was all happening, and it just, yep, it was so awesome.
Yeah. Season 2, what do we want to expect from this? So that it was renewed after 2 weeks. So the outpouring of support came immediately. I don't think they've started production on season 2, given the times we're in. But so they've been relegated. What are some interesting like plot mechanics that could happen in season 2 of Ted Lasso?
If I had to guess, so here's Soccer Will coming out, and I can explain,
yeah,
what happens. So
this is great.
I hope I don't mess this up because I don't watch a lot of the lower league. The championship is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
But as you probably know, if you watch the show, three teams in the Premier League go down, three teams from the league below them go up. And so now that they're relegated, they will very likely have to play the season. I'm going to assume that they will be one of the top teams, and it would be really weird if they just made them bad. So I'm going to assume that they're going to be good. What,
yeah,
could be very, very entertaining is that at the end of every season, I believe it's the top two teams automatically qualify to go up. From,
okay,
there, they have a playoff, and then the team that wins the playoff gets to go up, and it all culminates in this end of the season championship game that is widely regarded as the most, what do they call it? Like the most valuable game in football, because it's worth so much money to get promoted,
yeah,
that, yeah, I mean, you just make so much money if you win this game. And so if I had to guess what's going to happen, I would guess that they are going to play in that game. And there's definitely going to be a scene that mansplains all of this to people, and they will do it in a much better way than I do. But it's going to be Ted being like, what are you talking about? A playoff, but you don't, like,
you know,
what's going on?
Yeah.
And so if I had to guess, that is 100% the route that they will take. And I pretty much guarantee that something devastating will happen that will put them out of the automatic promotion and put them into the playoff. And
of
I hope that happens, because I would love to see that.
Yeah. And it's so, I mean, you telegraphed it perfectly. That's what's going to happen. But I'm so excited to see what happens to all the characters along the way. I'm for sure that Roy Kent is going to be an assistant coach on AFC Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for sure that like Nick Muhammad, the Nathan ball boy assistant coach character, is going to have a bigger role. I'm super excited, man. This is probably, and I don't mean to speak in hyperbole here, one of the best, if not my favorite shows of the year. It just came along at the best time. Think of how just like down in the dumps we've all been. And this is just a feel good masterpiece.
I agree. If I had to make a top 10 or top 5 list of my favorite seasons of television that I've watched this year, this would 100% be on it. And that's, I don't think it's negotiable. I don't think that I would ever bump it out for anything, because it was just such an enjoyable watch. And I mean, not a lot of us are going out on Friday nights right now anyway, because of the whole, you know, COVID stuff. Yeah. And so this was one of the shows that I looked forward to Friday nights, because I was like, you know what? Apple TV is releasing a new Ted Lasso. Let's do it. Let's sit down and watch this right away.
You know what? My wife and I took a page out of your book, and we'd save it till Sunday night. And it was the last thing we watched. So we didn't go into the next week with any scaries. You always ended each episode of Ted Lasso feeling so incredibly good. So it was the perfect end of the weekend nightcap.
Are you a crier?
A little bit. I don't sob. I know you are a crier.
I've become less of a crier somehow over the last few years, but this show definitely made me well up. And there were a couple episodes where I welled up like twice, and I was just, yeah. I just gave into it. I had to.
The male version is like, you well up, you have a smile on your face, and you're like, this is so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
I was going to make a joke about now that you're married, you don't cry as much because you're a hardened married guy, but I'll pass over it.
I just have no emotions now.
A shell of yourself. Okay, this was a lot of fun. Before I let you go, it's just me here. What else are you watching right now? Anything you can recommend to the So Many Screens listeners? I mean, obviously it's a lot of spooky movies and Bachelorette, given the current time period. But is there anything else you're just, you know, unwinding with at the end of the night?
We just finished Pen 15. Mm-hmm. I didn't love season two. I liked season one a lot more. Season two, I feel like they gave a lot more runway to the writers, which I think one of the main characters was one of the main writers. I'm not sure. I know she read at least a couple episodes. It got a little weird sometimes, but I still enjoyed it. It still kind of took me back to those times and those awkward stages when we were all 15 years old. Uh-huh. I've also been watching, we've been doing the Great British Baking Show now that that's dropped again. Our kind of guilty pleasure show that we've been watching nonstop lately has been Yellowstone.
Oh, dude, us too. We just started season two last night.
So we are on the back half of season three at this point, and it's a show that we love to hate. It's definitely our hate watch right now because it's just so dramatic and you'll learn this, but there are certain things that happen in the show that they just kind of forget about. It's the most forgetful show I've ever seen. There are such major things that happen that they're just like, eh, we're done with that storyline. We're moving on to the next thing. But those three shows are kind of what's been taking up a lot of our time lately, especially since Ted Lasso went away. We are in the mood for a new feel good show, and none of these have done that.
If anyone has any recommendations, please reach out to Will, reach out to myself, reach out to the So Many Screens Twitter and Instagram accounts at So Many Screens. Really quick on Yellowstone, it's so pulpy, and every episode something happens that is so unbelievably traumatic and like devastating. And then you're absolutely right. 20 minutes later, it's like it never happened. And it does get very, very frustrating after a while.
When we finished season three, there's only a few people that I know who have finished like all three seasons. When I finish season three, I'm going to have conversations with every single one of them, because there are certain parts of the storyline that have happened that just have not been breached in over a season now. And I'm like, this is a major thing that we need to confront. Like, and if it all doesn't come to a head at some point, I'm going to be very, very confused. But
it's like
Western Succession without the great dialogue and banter.
Or that's character development, I think.
Exactly.
I think it's lacking character development in a major way. I was going to say one more thing and I forget. Oh, well, this was a ton of fun. Will, thank you for hopping on to talk about our favorite show of the year, Ted Lasso. Where can the good people follow you, find you? Most people know where that is. But
go head over to anywhere podcasts are found and subscribe to Circling Back or the Sunday Scaries podcast. Once in a while, I'll produce the mail-in podcast. But anything on the Wash Media Network, go subscribe, go follow, have some fun.
We'll talk to you guys next week on Tuesday. Kate will be back. She's been having some back problems, so hopefully those are better. We'll be back with Spooky Season talking about The Haunting of Bly Manor. Will, thanks again for hopping on, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right.